There's one name I forgot to mention that's been continually on our mind and hearts, and y'all forgive me for that, but that's the Green family. We do lift y'all up and have been. You're on our minds and hearts so often. Come ahead, brother.
Thank you, Brother Eric. Thank you. I'm very thankful to be with y'all here this morning. I pray that the Father would guide, the Spirit would be with us in this portion of the service. Thankful for the opportunity to be back with you here at El Bethel Church. It's good to see all of you. I want to turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. If you all have heard me preach on this, then you know when to say amen. You know where all the boring parts are. You probably will know when I'm about to quit. You're ahead of everybody. I may have preached this here. I may have preached this in this area. I don't know. It's on my mind. And may the Lord, I pray the Lord is in it. I want to read in verse 5 of the 16th chapter of Acts. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. It sounds like the church was doing quite well at this point in history. They were established in the faith, in the gospel, in the truth. They increased daily. How did that happen? Because they met daily. They met every day. You think, when is it too much church? They didn't think meeting every day was too much. And the Spirit was with them. People were coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the churches were increasing. Then we read the next verse. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That text always gets to me. Gets to me in an interesting and very unique fashion. Everything was going well. People were being added to the church daily. They were established in the faith. The Spirit was there. And Paul went to this region as he had gone to other regions. He was there. And the language of the Scripture says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach. The audacity of God, right? How dare he? I've been trying to understand some of the hardest questions in life. Talk about it. That's a grand statement, as there ever was one. I'm famous for that. But I'm really serious. People ask me all the time, why do bad things happen to good people? Get asked that a lot. I have asked that. Why did that have to happen? Why did it happen to me? Why is everybody being blessed but me? That's what I want to get into that if God will bless. But we need to understand one thing. The Lord is in control. The Lord is sovereign. We are not. The Holy Spirit may forbid me to preach right now. I may not preach a lick in the road the rest of this meeting. I want to preach good. I've been praying. You want to hear good preaching? Anybody want to hear bad sermons? Anybody want to hear a lousy sermon? I'm good at that. I can preach really bad. You're not interested in that? No, you want to hear some good preaching. So I want to hear good preaching. I want this to be the best meeting El Bethel has ever had. Not because I'm here, but because the Lord is here. And that's up to the Lord, isn't it? We've done everything we can do. There's things we need to do. We're talking about driving up here. My mother, she's 83. She will stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning cooking for the meeting the next day. None of you sisters, whatever, nobody. Any of you sisters do a lot of cooking? I think I know who. I'm not gonna mention names, but y'all cook. My mother doesn't trust any sister in that church. She thinks every single one of them is not gonna bring a thing. And if she doesn't do this, there will be absolutely no food at all for the meeting. So she will cook for 8 hours. What am I going to tell? Don't do it, Mom. She will yell at me. And so I don't say anything. There are things we do. We probably got the church looking good, mowed the grass, prayed. We've done a lot of praying. Invited people. But now it's up to the point where we have to just... There's nothing we can do except trust the Lord. The Apostle Paul had every good intention. He had good intentions. They were honorable. I'm going to go to this place and I'm going to preach the word of the Lord like I have done before and establish the truth in this area and that people will hear the glorious gospel of Christ and be... I'm going to say be saved, not eternally, but there's a time salvation. And be saved by that blessed assurance that their sins are forgiven and that it was all done through Christ. And when he got there, he couldn't preach. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the opportunity wasn't there, if he actually got up and had no light. I don't know. All I know is the Spirit of God said, you're not going to preach here, and he didn't preach there. God does say no. Believe it or not, believe it. He will tell you no. And just because that you believe in the Lord, and just because you're a Primitive Baptist, does not mean that every day in your life is going to be incredibly wonderful and blessed, because there is trouble on every side. That's what Paul said. We are, not will be, we are troubled on every side. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days. That's the duration of life. And that duration is a few days. And it's what? It's full of trouble. Jesus said this, in the world ye shall have tribulation. We like those shalls, don't we? We don't like that one. We don't like that one. He shall save his people from their sins. Amen. I'm a hard shall. Well, here's a shall. Here's a shall. In the world, you shall have what? You will have tribulations. You will have tribulations. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. But you shall have tribulations. I have had tribulations. You have had tribulations. Churches go through tribulations. Churches go through seasons. Our church is going through we need your prayers. Because we need, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. If the Lord doesn't bless our church, there will not be a church in Fredericksburg in 10 years. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you the truth. There will probably not be, there's four churches around us. In 10 years, they will be gone. We're praying. And may the Lord bless us with revival. And tell me what I need to do. The reason that I'm not broke down, depressed about it, is because I know the Lord can revive. And He's all about bringing the dead back to life. We have good intentions. Our church in Fredericksburg meets every Sunday. We bring lunch every Sunday. That's in the articles of faith amongst the Texas Primitive Baptists. That we shall bring lunch every Sunday. And upon no Sunday shall we not bring lunch. If today is Sunday, then lunch shall be brought. And there shall not be a Sunday that lunch shall not be brought. You will stay and eat lunch every Sunday, including Mother's Day, including Christmas, including whatever holiday it may be, because today is Sunday and thou shalt eat thy lunch at church. That is in our articles of faith. I just quoted to you word by word. Word by word. We bring lunch every Sunday. Every Sunday. Fifth Sunday. Every Sunday. We don't even know what Sunday it is. Is it fifth? First Friday? It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. What are we going to do? We're going to go to church. We're going to have church. We're going to have lunch. We talk. We visit. There's times it's 2-3 o'clock before we leave. We're just having a good time. We're talking. We have good meetings. I feel the Spirit of God there. As a matter of fact, the best liberty I have is at Fredericksburg Church. It's home. It's home. I don't feel a call to go anywhere. I don't feel a leadership of the Spirit to go anywhere. I don't think my time is up there. I don't feel that way. Right. I think I'll know when it is. It's not. It's not. We have wonderful meetings. I can't wait to be there. I'm going to miss them tomorrow. The Lord is blessing us. And with the Spirit. But we're down to 15 members. And most of them are over the age of 80. That's tough. Because what I want on Resurrection Morning, Fredericksburg Church to be worshiping the Lord. I want us to hang on till Resurrection Morning. So I'm studying the book of Acts. I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Acts so I can understand how the Lord's dealing with the church. And how I should respond in the Lord's dealing with the church. Because I want what I do to be as thus saith the Lord. So therefore, I understand that the Lord had established churches in this region. And He had called these men out to preach the word. And they went out. And these were called apostles. The word apostles means the call, the sent, to be sent out. They were sent out to preach. They were evangelists. They went out and they preached the word of the Lord. They established churches. People believed. Thousands would be baptized. There was one on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 were baptized. The next chapter, 4,000 joined. Then 5,000. Lots of people by the number were coming. An ingathering was there. And now, here it comes. Paul says, let's go here and preach the word of the Lord. And they get there and they can't preach nothing. There's nothing. Aren't you glad? My friend, I'll tell you what. Let me put it to you this way. Our God is not an Arminian. Amen. Your God's not an Arminian. He's not an Arminian. Don't you be an Arminian. What's an Arminian, Brother David? I'll tell you what one is. It's someone who believes they can get to heaven by their own works or by the belief of the gospel. That's what an Arminian is. What does it mean? I don't know. That's just what it is. All right? Now, if salvation is by belief and accept the gospel, then it seems to me that God had sent people to hell because he did not bless the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel in this place. Either there was nobody worthy to be saved, or everybody was already saved. But they were forbidden to preach. And so some people were forbidden to go to heaven if salvation is by the gospel. Or if all the elect will believe and accept the gospel, then there was no elect in this place. Because the Lord didn't preach the gospel. I don't have to worry about that. It's by the grace of God. But God has a purpose. God has a will. God is in the details. Some people don't like the details. I'm the big picture. I want to look at it from a macro level. I have learned to study the details. And in these things that we may think are insignificant or don't really matter, they come to matter a great deal. And there was a purpose of God in forbidding these brethren to preach. But you've got to keep reading, which is what we'll do. We go on down now into verse 7. And after they were come to Mysia and essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. What does that mean? They couldn't even go where they wanted to go now. They went to the place before and couldn't preach. Now they essayed. That means they wanted to go to this region, but the Spirit threw a roadblock and said, nope, you can't go. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm not going to let you do it. The Lord will not let you do things that are not His will. Sometimes He will prevent you and stop it dead in its tracks. Sometimes He'll let you do it till you'll learn a lesson. I shouldn't have done that. I don't believe in absolute predestination of all things. But I do believe that God is in control. I do believe, I don't understand the mind of God. None of us do. I don't even know if I'll understand it in heaven. I don't know. It's too great. It's too high. I can't even think about it. I can't explain to you why things happen. But I can tell you this. God is in control. God is in control. When you don't think He is, God is in control. And things may happen insignificantly that play out, that have great ramifications. I love what Jacob said. As he was running for his life, and he stopped at a place, and he laid his head down on a rock. And he had a dream. He saw a vision. He saw a ladder with angels going up it and going down it. He woke up, and you know what he said? Okay, I'm going to misquote it. You tell me where I misquoted this text. The Lord was here, and I knew it not. Now, that was a misquote. There's a wrong word in that sentence. I've misquoted that text for many years. I hear our beloved Primitive Baptist preachers misquote that text. 1 out of every 100 Primitive Baptist preachers quote it right. I'm one of the 99 who does not. Until I was reproved by 1 out of 100. And I got my toes stepped on. You don't like to get your toes stepped on, do you? Sometimes it's the best thing that can happen to you. Preacher came to me and said, y'all, you ever read it? He said, the Lord is here.
Right.
He said, the Lord is, not was, yeah, is here. And I knew it. Now, the Lord was still there. And he knew it. Now he knew it. See, I used to think that was a blown opportunity of Jacob. No. He realized, Lord is here. I didn't know that, but I know it now. And so he built a pillar to God, and he changed the name of the place to Bethel, which means the house of God. The house of God. Now, there are times, friends, that the Lord is there and we don't know it. And there are times that the Lord is there and we never know it. There are times that the Lord is there and we do know it years after. I went to a meeting. It's 11:22, okay. I'm just following the Spirit. I'm following the Spirit. This sermon is not going the way I thought it would go. Y'all hang with me. I don't know where I'm going. All right, I went to a meeting one time, about 4 years ago. Went to a meeting. It's a meeting that I have gone to for years. It's one of my favorite meetings to go to. I went to this meeting. I had brethren go with me. We had it all planned what we were going to do. And this meeting was going to be great because we had all these plans. And we had it all planned out because I'm a micromanager. I mean, I'm not a micromanager, I'm a microplanner. If you're a microplanner, then you don't have to be a micromanager. Because I can't stand micromanagers, but I love microplanners. So I plan things out to the detail. And the brother and I, they were likewise microplanners. So we had a blast together. We're going to do this. And I know exactly where you're thinking the story's going. You're wrong. The story's not going the way you think it's going to go. Because everything that we planned to do, we did. And it was great. It was better than we thought. So here's what we're going to do. We went to this meeting. We're going to go to this meeting. We got there Thursday night, and we stay all day Friday. We stay all day Friday at this meeting. And we did. And then we had planned in our hearts and our minds and our hopes and dreams, it's going to be a glorious meeting. And it was. It was a glorious day. It was a wonderful meeting. And then we were going to go back to our hotel room, and the next day we were going to go travel down to southern Arkansas, and we were going to spend a day with Elder Hartzell Casey, and we were going to go through this magnificent print shop where they printed the Primitive Baptist paper for years and years and years, where they printed the good old songs, because I'm now the editor of the good old songs, so I had a vested interest in it. And we wanted, there were books there that have been lost to Primitive Baptist for centuries. And is the greatest collection of Primitive Baptist periodicals in the world. All right. And Brother Julian, you might want to get that. It may be somebody. Okay, you got it. All right. Don't worry about it. Well, there was a time that I was up here preaching and my phone went off.
I wish it had been Jesus.
Amen. That's a call. Well, that's an effectual call. You can't help but answer that one, brother. You can't turn Jesus off. See how that worked out? Oh, that was probably the best part of the whole sermon right there. See, you know, the Lord had a... Okay. All right. I'm glad it happened, though. Yeah, there's a one time that I had my phone in my pocket and I was fumbling with it, and I called my little brother, and he stayed on the phone for the whole sermon. And then at the handshake, I heard my little brother's voice, David, and it was my brother on the phone. He said, that was a good sermon. One more story. There was one time that I was fiddling with my phone. That's why my phone's not up here anymore. I was fiddling with my phone and actually turned on a music. And I'm not going to tell you what song came out. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a church song. And I couldn't turn it on. I threw the phone to my son, Sam, and said, turn that stuff off. Anyway, that's back to the sermon. Back to the day. So we had it all planned out. We were going to go down. And we did. We did. We got down to Thornton, Arkansas. Went down there. And we had a glorious day. And Brother Casey was so good. He gave us... We got whatever we wanted. Take it. Because... it was all going to be crated away, carted off. It was going to be gone. And it's gone. It's not there anymore. It's not there. The greatest Primitive Baptist Museum. It's gone. It's gone. To the four winds. Me and the brethren were one of the four winds. I had rented this huge, not a cargo van, but it's pretty close, and it was full of stuff. It was one of the most blessed weekends. And we talked all the way back to Texas. And I drove home. Why am I telling you this story? What's the point in this story? Outside, I think it's a pretty good story. I did not know this. But that weekend, that Friday, they asked me to preach on Friday night. My brother Tam went up first, and I followed him. I remember it vividly. I remember what Tim preached on. He went about 5 minutes too long, I thought, but that's Tim. Never preach a Montgomery on a night service. I thought he's going too long. But it was a good sermon. I got up, I remember what I talked about. And I felt blessed. At that point in time, my life was probably at the worst ebb it had ever been. My house was in not good shape, and things were about to explode, and I knew it. And I actually went on that trip with these brethren, and that's what we talked about, and I was availing them for advice. At that meeting, there was a young lady in the audience that did not know that I existed. And 2.5 years later, I married her. Leslie was there, and I knew it not. Now, friends, my beloved friends, I have concerns, but I am not going to stop going forward because I know that the Lord is in control and I know His purposes ripen fast. I know we may not understand things. In this world, you shall have tribulations. You're not the only person going through tribulations. You're not the only person going through this particular tribulation. No one has had more tribulations than the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the one who said, in this world, you shall have tribulations. The Apostle Paul was troubled on every side. And he was the one who wrote, we are troubled on every side. Job suffered the loss of all things practically in one day. And he was the one who said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But Job is also the one that said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, who I shall see for myself. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yea, in my flesh, will I see God. The Apostle Paul, who said, we're troubled on every side. He's the one who said, it's too precious to misquote. The Apostle Paul is the one who said, I gotta find it. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. There's a good shall. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's the one who said, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He's the one who said that. The Lord Jesus, who said, you'll have tribulations. He's the one who said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He's the one who said, I will stand and I will separate my sheep from the goats. He's the one who said, and I'll say to the sheep, come in, ye blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Not when you believed, not when you accepted me. It was prepared for you from the foundation of the world because my Father chose you, elected you, and predestinated you to be conformed to my image. Paul said, we're joint heirs with Christ. John said, we don't know what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him. They all said we will see Him. They all said that we would behold the Lord in righteousness. And we will say, farewell, vain world. I'm going home. We sang about that today. My friends, we sang about Beulah Land. We're not home here. This may be your home church, friends. But I'll tell you this. There's a glorified church. There's that triumphant church. That's meeting in glory, and I'm a member up there. They're having a meeting without me right now. I'm missing it. One of these days, my friends, I'll be there at that good place. And I won't worry about this, it didn't go the way I wanted to in life. Well, that shouldn't have happened. No, my friends, when all is peace and love, then all will be peace and love. And I look forward to that. Most definitely. And that's what keeps me going. That's why I go forward. Because I know, like Job, my Redeemer liveth. I know He will come and take me home. I know, even so, that He knows my case. He knows what I have need of before I ask. And my beloved, God had a purpose in forbidding Paul from going to these places because He wanted him to be at a particular place at a particular time to preach to one person. Listen, that's true. He was waiting for this day to come. And so, the Apostle Paul, they went down to Troy, to Troas. And there they stopped. Sometimes it's just the best thing to do is to stand still. I don't like to stand still. I like to know what I need to do. When something needs to be done, I want to do it. When I see something isn't right, I want to fix it. And sometimes I make it worse. I remember when the Jews were fleeing Egypt and they came, they were stopped at the Red Sea and they looked and here comes the Egyptian army bearing down on them. And Moses had the audacity to say, stand still. That's not what I would have wanted to hear at that point. I would have said, what's the exit strategy? How are we going to get out of this? How are we going to make it? We're not going to live. This is it. This is it. This is the end. All that for nothing. God's forgotten us. God's forsaken me. You ever say that? Have you ever think that? You ever think God's forsaken you? Because of this thing or that thing or whatever happened, and you say, well, I just wasted my life. What was it for? What was the point of it all? I'll tell you what the point of it is, my friends, is that the Lord will show you that He can take the worst situation and bring sweet deliverance out of it. And sometimes, though, you just need to stand still. I can't believe I'm pounding the pulpit. I never do that. Sometimes you got to... I'm not going to do that anymore. I don't like that. Anyway, sometimes you got to stand still. Because Moses said, stand still and what? And what? Do what? See. Stand still and see what? See what? See what? The salvation of the Lord. The deliverance of God. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. His arm is not shortened. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. There's some things that God can't handle. No, He can handle them all. We can say, well, I'll give them the big things and I'll take care of the little things. It's the little things that will eat you up. The little foxes spoil the vines. It's that you cast all your care on Him. And you keep casting until you know what to do. And then when that way is opened up, that Red Sea is divided, then you go forward. And you keep Him in sight, walk, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul went down to Troy and he stopped and he stood still and he stopped being busy and he availed himself to the deliverance of God, God's will and God's purpose, and God sent him a dream. And a man of Macedonia stood and said, come on over to Macedonia and help us. That's what you do. This is what God wants you to do. Sometimes we got to get knocked in the head to get it. We're spiritual knuckleheads. And immediately, they went. And they got to Macedonia. And they went to Caesarea Philippi, the chief city of Macedonia. And they got there on Wednesday. It was Wednesday. They got there on Wednesday. And they went to the city. And you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. And they went out on Thursday. And you know what? Nothing happened. And they went out on Friday, and nothing happened. God was waiting for Saturday. The Lord was waiting for one person to get to this one place on this one day. And Paul got to that one place on that one day. And he saw that one person, though he had no idea, but God was in it. He saw this group of women by the river in a place where prayer was wont to be made. A place where they commonly gathered for prayer. This was Saturday. It was the Sabbath day. It was Saturday. They were there. Paul randomly didn't think about anything. He doesn't know what to do. He's just going, what? The Lord sent me here, but nothing's happening. What's the point? Why am I here? I know there's something, but why and where and how? And he goes to this place, and not by his design or whatever, but he sees these women and they're praying, and it's by the river, and he comes to them. And he speaks to them. And he preaches to them. The Spirit is not forbidding him now. The Spirit is not blocking his efforts. The Spirit is blessing him to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preaches it sweetly. And he talks about him. And one woman hears it. And it says this, whose heart? The Lord opened. The Lord opened. You know that God's got to do that, my friends. Now, this is not what we call regeneration. This is what we call conversion, because regeneration is how you get the heart to believe. Right? All right. Right. That's when your heart is pricked. You have to have a heart that is made of flesh that only God can give you. When you were born again, you were given a spiritual heart transplant. And that's how you know the Lord. But some, even then, the Lord has to open the heart. That is also a spiritual thing. And the Lord has to be with the preacher. He has to be with the listener. God has to be on both ends for there to be that liberty. And it was. God opened Lydia's heart. And she attended. She believed. And she worshiped. And thus, the church at Philippi happened, began. Now, when did the church at Philippi begin? I think it began when Sister Lydia was born again. That's when I think it is. I think it became unfurled there on that river. And she constrained Paul and his brethren to come to her house. Now that's an interesting word, constrain. I've studied it. Constrain means to force someone to accept a thing. That's what it means. To restrain means to force someone not to have a thing.
So, amongst us old Baptists, we have what I call the constraining sisters. Do you know these sisters? They are the ones that when they hear that you like a particular thing, will bring it next Sunday. They are the ones who will put food on your plate when you're absolutely full. See, because I found out something. I forgot about it. I forgot about something. Forgot about something about the Primitive Baptist. I told the brethren this the other day. Primitive Baptists cannot stand two types of preachers. They don't like skinny preachers, and they don't like single preachers. If they're skinny, they'll fatten them up. If they're single, they'll marry them off. I was a single, skinny preacher. And these constraining women had a field day with me. Now I'm going to tell you a great big secret. I'm going to tell you the secret that nobody else but David Montgomery will tell you. It is not the sisters you need to be scared of. It's the brethren. It's the brethren, because the brethren are sneaky. You want to know who are the most busy matchmakers amongst the old Baptists? It's the brethren. It's those deacons. It's those preachers. Watch out. Watch out. They all mean well. What it is, I sound like I'm making fun of it. I'm not. What I'm talking about is love, fellowship, people taking care of each other, people watching out for each other. I'm talking about a family. That's what a church ought to be, is a family. And you need to try very hard to make it that way. The best way to do that is to put your pride and your priorities and what you think on the shelf and seek as thus saith the Lord. And I have been blessed in my existence by these blessed people who would take care of me and see to my needs. And that is a byproduct of the love of the Lord that we commonly share. It's that communion, that common union. It's that fellowship that we have. And that was born when Lydia heard and believed the gospel, and she constrained Paul, "You come to my house." And he did. And the church at Philippi began to meet in her house. That was the church that Paul would say, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." That was the church that Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He was strengthened that day in Philippi when he stood by the river wanting to preach, wanting what the purpose is, what does it all mean? And he found it on that day with God, said, "Now, this is what I hear here. This is my will. This is my purpose. I am in control. I'm in charge of this. You do what I say and it will all work out. I will take care of this. Just trust me." Sounds easy, doesn't it? We make it so hard. What a blessing it was, though, that day. I don't think Paul, if I may just give you what I think Paul preached the best sermon he ever preached. I like to think that he did. I know he preached a good sermon because the Spirit was there. May the Lord bless this day to God's honor and glory. May His purposes ripen fast. May He take care of us and give us His sweet... Speak to us in that still small voice. And may we understand more about Him today than we did yesterday. May God richly bless you. Thank you all very much. Amen.